from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you on a Wednesday. Texans back at practice today. We'll talk to John Harris at 8 o'clock on the show today. He's in Ohio. Oh, yeah. We'll get his impression. Sounds like yesterday was a defense day.
Sounds like it was. It sounds like it was kind of sloppy for the offense.
Yep. Sloppy conditions, I guess.
And it's something, honestly, that's starting to annoy me a little bit because Bobby Sloak says something here where he's not making excuses, but it's a common theme that keeps coming up. Just listen to this and tell me your grumpy old man doesn't get his daubers up over this.
Yeah, we were rolling pretty good yesterday. Really, for the last couple of days, we've had some good days of stacking things together. Today was tough with the elements. The balls got pretty slick as practice went on, which I think was evident, and you could see. But it's good training for us. Houston's just different as far as the heat goes, but we don't deal with the wet conditions as often as I feel like you do in some other places. So it's really good training for us. Just how to adjust to that, receivers, how to keep our feet, O linemen, how to anchor, how we still want to approach the run game. We need it, and I think that showed today that the defense made the adjustment today and we didn't. We will going forward.
Okay.
Water falling from the sky is the Texans offense is the Wicked Witch of the East or West or whichever. They're the Wicked Witch of the Gulf Coast. It turns out.
It's the Wicked Witch of the West. She was the one that died because they dumped water on her. The East was the one whose Dorothy's house landed on. So she's unable to overcome Holmes landing on her. The Wicked Witch of the West is the Texans, unable to overcome precipitation.
Yeah. They're both wrecked wenches, okay? Mm-hmm. So it annoys me because we had the Jets game last year, and D'Amico acknowledged that after a rainy practice a couple weeks ago when it was wet and the offense looked awful, the team got into a fight, and D'Amico acknowledged that in that Jets game, there just wasn't the energy that they needed. Mm-hmm. I can't have this potentially high-powered offense be undermined by something as simple as, precipitation. It's annoying me. It's annoying me to an extreme degree because they play potentially in the elements some this year. They've got an outdoors game in New York.
Yeah.
They've got an outdoors game against Kansas City late in the year. Jaguars on December 1st, which very, very, that's when it starts to get kind of misty and ugly in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at the skit. New England in week 6. That's in October. Oh. Green Bay the following week in October.
Green Bay has bad weather at times. I've never heard that from John Facenda. Yeah,
Google it. Look it up. They do.
Yeah.
And then then 2 weeks later, as you mentioned, the Jets. They've got Kansas City, as you said, on Christmas weekend, the weekend prior to Christmas. And then Tennessee, they close out the year in January. That's a tough one. So they've got about a half dozen games, potentially, with elements, I would say.
With don't get triggered, everybody. With this, the current weather cycle that we're on, it's pretty damn, there's been less snowfall. There's been more rain.
Yeah.
My old hometown has gotten, record low snowfalls the last couple of years up north.
Global warming.
So it's just, whatever. The current cycle. I don't give a damn. It's like they're gonna face rain, especially in the playoffs. I don't want this to be an offense that's high powered in the regular season and then Miami and Kansas City last year that just fell apart in the playoffs with any kind of anything other than tropical weather.
Well, that was -60 degrees outside. I give both teams a pass. That was just way too cold.
One team handled it a lot better than the other.
True.
One.
True. Well, yeah. Go figure. The Miami team didn't really like
it. There's been a whole lot of self-congratulation by the Texans as of late. A whole lot of isn't it crazy how awesome we are? No, you're not awesome yet. You got to go out and face an afternoon downpour and burst through that barrier before you stop sucking as an offense in those situations.
Well, the defense liked it yesterday, and particularly Derek Stingley Jr., who picked off C.J. Stroud twice towards the back end of the practice and got a lot of love for it. One, I guess the first one, was a ball to Nico Collins, like a 50-50 ball that Stingley went up and bodied him and came down with it. We saw a similar pick from Stingley earlier in camp. I forget who the receiver was. Oh, it was Tank, because Tank tried to wrestle the ball away from him. Bodying Nico Collins up is pretty impressive. And then he had what would have been a pick six covering Tank Dell, where he read a route from C.J. Stroud, jumped the route. It's been a really, really good camp for Derek Stingley Jr. Here is Matt Burke, the Texans defensive coordinator, following practice, talking about Stingley.
I think Sting, I never like to say the best, but is one of the best ball corners in the league. Like, he's got elite ball skills. I mean, obviously he's big and powerful. Like, he's always, tight in coverage, but can go snatch it. I think that's probably one of his superpowers. So it doesn't surprise me when he goes and makes those type of plays.
I've seen some people, I would say, overreact to one-on-ones at times, because all this stuff filters out, because it's one of the only times that the media are allowed to film practice is during one-on-ones and stuff like that. So you see a lot of film of, at times, Derek Stingley getting beat by Stephon Diggs, and they'll think, oh man, Stingley must suck. The thing you got to know about Stingley is, and about one-on-ones in general, whether it's passes, whether it's with the receivers and DBs or in the one-on-one pass rush and with defensive and offensive linemen, the true technicians are working on stuff there. And sometimes they're experimenting. Sometimes they're playing something more aggressively, without the benefit of safeties behind them or anything. And it's like losing a one-on-one. When you're a rookie, you're trying to, you don't want to screw up. You're trying to, prove yourself and everything. When guys really get to that expert level, they're working on stuff, and it means sometimes they're going to get beat and beat badly. So you just got to be really careful about reading into that stuff too much. Through the duration of camp, there's battles between Stephon Diggs and Derek Stingley. There's battles between Stephon Diggs and Nico Collins. So There's nothing about not Stephon Diggs and Nico Collins with Derek Stingley and Nico.
Yeah.
Yeah. So hold on, let me give myself, because I've been bad lately. I corrected myself, so there. Got the name right eventually. I think I'm excited about Derek Stingley this year. I think he's kind of really coming into his own in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it's gonna be a big year for him. Cody Stutes, in his summary, Cody Stutes, Houston Football, had the sentence, Fadakasi and Mario Edwards are nasty at defensive tackle. Nasty. So
nasty.
Cody's there. He's got eyes on it. Those are eyes that I trust. Here was Matt Burke following practice yesterday on Mario Edwards, who's in his 10th year in the league, I believe, but his first time in this system.
Mario's been a revelation. I think he's just been super explosive. He's probably adapted or taken to the techniques probably better than anyone in the short time that we've had. So sometimes it takes a while for guys to go from, especially a 9-year vet or whatever he is, from a read or different types or different alignments to really consistently buy in to an attack technique that we ask him to play. He's probably adapted better than anyone in such a short time. So explosive athlete. Yeah, I joke with him like, man, if you were in this front for your whole career, I mean, it's hard to knock a 10-year career. So I'm not saying he hasn't a great one, but it's fun to see him sort of come to growth in this, for sure.
Yeah, the defensive line coach Rod Wright had said something similar a couple weeks ago about how if Mario Edwards had been in this system his whole career, it might have looked a little different. When you're in read and react defenses, where the defense is first, you're supposed to maintain your gap and you're supposed to read, you know, to be sure you got your run responsibilities, and then you're allowed to rush the passer. It takes a little pepper out of your step, you know? It's like taking a 97 fastball down to an 89. Mm-hmm. So you, it's hard sometimes when all of a sudden everything that's been drilled into you about playing a more conservative style, when somebody just allows you to let loose and get upfield, it takes time to retrain all that muscle memory and everything. So I'll give Mario Edwards a lot of credit for being an old dog learning new tricks. The one thing I'm holding back in reserve is that those guys have looked really good, Fatakasi and Mario Edwards, but they're doing it against the problem area of this offensive line,
yeah,
which is the interior offensive line, specifically center and left guard. We just don't know what we have in them. So I'm waiting to see when you start talking about how, hey, this is a brand new version of these two veteran defensive tackles that we've got boatloads of film on already going against actual NFL
been
players.
Been on four teams, yeah.
Is it a brand new version, or is it right that they're just going against bad offensive linemen? We just don't know until we see, hopefully, a couple series against the Steelers.
You're a former defensive lineman. I'm a regular person. This sounds like a more fun system to play in, the one that Edwards is playing in now.
It is. It's, you know, it's tricky because I went through the same thing in my 10th NFL year.
Yep.
There was the first time I played in defense where all of a sudden it was an attack front.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a while, and it was a lot of fun because I ended up getting injured very early in that season. But I did think the same thing Mario Edwards is thinking, which is, oh my gosh, like if I think back on my career and like if I had played in this system every year, the stat sheet would look a little bit different. Maybe fewer tackles, but more TFLs and sacks.
Yeah, more of the sexy stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
More of the stuff that gets chicks.
But it is, it's like somebody who was raised super religious. Like it's somebody who was raised Amish,
mm-hmm,
and then but decides to leave. You don't let go of some of those old, like what was drilled into you as a youth ever.
Yeah.
And there's always a little bit of hesitation sometimes. You're always waiting to get slapped on the wrist with a ruler because you're playing free and loose.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, maybe looking at a woman's bare ankles. I don't know.
I'm allowed to do this now? Wow.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Kalen Bullock had another good day. He had a pick, would have been a pick six in a regular game, in kind of a fight, I guess, with John Metchie for a ball. Metchie didn't have a great day yesterday, at least according to the footage that dropped in one-on-ones. He dropped an easy deep ball. So that's something
That's something you can read into on one-on-ones, yeah. I always think is like, okay, let's look at. Well, and that's where with John Metchie, that's where I am right now. In the one-on-ones, it does look like he's kind of unlocked a different level of athleticism. It just hasn't translated to scrimmage play.
Yep.
And the drops have been consistent throughout camp.
Yep.
So that's where, like, so if a guy drops a ball in one-on-ones and he's dropping the ball during scrimmage situations, and 11-on-11, that's been consistent. It's something that they're obviously going to very much notice and think of as significant right now.
Yeah. Here was Matt Burke was asked about the rumors, Not mentioning anything by name, but the rumors surrounding the safety position. Obviously, the reference for whoever was asking the questions. I apologize. I couldn't make out the voice of who asked that question of Matt Burke. But hey, what do you think of the rumors swirling around the safety position? Justin Simmons being the obvious name that didn't get mentioned in the question. Here's Burke on the rumors in the safety room.
Yeah, it's been great. I actually think Jimmy's had like a really good time up here. Just starting to sort of show up and sort of impact plays more. Peachy's been really good. Like, it's just same thing. I mean, I know I feel like I broke a record sometimes. Like, the depth that we've had, you know, Kalen's been had a pretty good game on Thursday night and has really shown up, like, ranging the ball and playing more physical. And then the kind of two vet guys we have in the room with Emari and MJ, like, man, we've been mixing those packages a lot, again, trying to get guys in different spots and trying to get guys against different competition and whatnot. So I don't know what rumors you're talking about, but like I feel really good about our depth, and all those guys have been kind of growing in what we're asking them to do. And like I said, I feel like even a guy like Jimmy, like, is starting to, like, sort of show up. You know, I feel like he's kind of a forgotten man sometimes. So Jimmy's been making some plays the last few practices and starting to kind of – he's on the come a little bit. So I feel good about where that whole group's working.
Yeah, I think I honestly think that where the Texans are right now is that, look, as a football team, you're always trying to balance the long term with the short term, and I'm sure that there were multiple free agents out there this year that the Texans would have loved to go and grab and spend against the future, leverage yourself against the future, all that stuff. But you just got to be careful in how you do it, and you want to be constantly developing guys from within as well. So I think that's where they are right now. I think they like Kalen Bullock. I think they're still trying to figure out exactly what's the best fit and the best role for Jalen Petrie. And they see ways to use him creatively or just in spot duty at safety and other times at nickel linebacker. And if they add – and they do like Jimmy Ward when he's healthy. So, all right, do we bring a 31-year-old safety into this mix? Well, we already have multiple other 30-plus-year-old guys on this defense. I think they probably look at it as a break glass in case of emergency situation. If they get an injury, if Kalen Bullock all of a sudden just, you know, doesn't continue progressing, then they'd consider it. But I think right now, when they say they're, I don't know if any football coach is ever happy, but when they say they're happy with the position group, I think I'll take it at face value. Yeah. I think they're like, yeah, this is, we're good for now with right here, and we like where we're headed.
Yeah, and I think Kalen Bullock's performance so far in camp is a big variable in that. He's been excellent. He has shown up. He's in my notes. He's in there once a day. You know, like he does something every day.
He shows up on film. Right, and at this stage in camp, especially, this is where I am. Like with Cade Stover. Cade Stover in that game, I thought had some really good blocks. I thought he did some really good things. And a couple of the issues that weren't even glaring issues or anything, it was more along the lines of him adapting to the speed of the game and also learning the system and the scheme more so than it was a physical issue. I think he's got a lot of potential to be a really good blocker. So like with Kalen Bullock, you look for the positives and, hey, can he physically compete?
Yep.
Yeah. I think some of the things I saw in the game were more along the lines of, you know, taking which angle and all of that, like the finer elements of the game. But the fact of the matter is he simply shows up.
Yeah, he's freaky. He's got an athleticism that you can't teach, for sure. All right, and real quick, Titus Howard at one point during practice yesterday went into the blue tent. He left the field riding on a cart. He wasn't carted off. Like that. This is getting annoying. Apparently, where they practice, there's a lot of hills to go back to the training facility and whatnot. Uh-huh. So guys ride carts. Like Blake Fisher had to leave practice the other day, rode back to the facility on a cart, and there's people saying he got carted off the field. Like, carted off means they have a debilitating usually a lower extremity injury.
Uh-huh.
Riding a cart is not getting carted off. It's not the same thing.
But it was but it's literally correct.
Right, so but football connotation. Don't you well actually me on this. There's football connotation.
Yeah,
carted off. He rode a cart. Okay.
Titus tweeted it out to clarify it. Did he not?
Yeah,
he walked off. I guess walked off the field, carted away from the facility like everybody else is the appropriate, I guess, way to phrase that.
Titus's tweet was, "Dang, I thought I walked off the field," which led a lot of people to think like, Okay, did he get a concussion? He just doesn't remember what exactly
happened.
Dang,
I thought I was the Prince of Algeria. What the hell?
Yes, same thing.
You're going to tell me you're going to take away my lands and rights?
Same thing. All right, we'll get to the Astros. Good night last night for the Astros, particularly Framber Valdez. A lot of news with the Stros, too, that we will get to. We'll circle back to the Texans and big NFL news going on as well with the trade that we're waiting to happen right now. We'll get to all of that in headlines coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.